We're in the at the end, last sermon of Fight the Good Fight of Faith. If you go put up slide one, First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's interesting because we were discussing this in Sunday school this morning, and each and every one of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have something to share with somebody. And I know that there are times when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart and tells you, like I've mentioned before, maybe the Spirit tells you, go down to aisle four and there's somebody and share your testimony with them. And, you know, the cool things happen like that. Other times you hear someone's story because sometimes you just, anybody meet somebody, they just begin to just unravel what's going on with them. You know, you listen to what's going on with them. Find that opportunity, that door of opportunity to share what Christ has done in you. See, because you are a walking miracle, amen? Because thanks be to God that you came to know Christ on that one day that you got saved. And so we have this great news to share. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy here in chapter 6. And he shares some things with him in chapter 6. If you haven't read the whole chapter of chapter 6, I encourage you to do that. Maybe family Bible study. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, God gives this word to Paul to share with Timothy about what's going on in that particular time. Still happens today. There are just certain things that really take our that take our attention off of God and onto the things of this world. And today, anybody ever have difficult days? Anybody? No? Yeah? All right. I hope that it doesn't happen for you every day. But we do get, we do have these difficult days. Some of you who work, you always, you know, you're always on the clock or you're always working. Mondays might be those difficult days. But let's go to the next slide. My first point is don't fear the difficult days. Difficult days happen, don't they? The scripture does not tell us that you will not go through any turmoil, any tribulation, any difficult time in life. Jesus didn't even say that. So it's not a yellow brick road. It's not because we get saved that everything happens as soon as you walk outside your house. I mean, you know, just the lilies just, you know, kind of stand up because you're walking. I mean, things don't happen like that. Maybe, you know, in the movies, maybe, but difficult days happen. But today we're going to focus on, I believe, what God has for us today. And especially this morning, this confirmation, you feel like you are not able to share. You're not able to shine bright the Jesus that's in you. You're not able to share your testimony. You feel like you're this small, but God is calling you to be this. And you're like, I don't even see that happening. That's because you're looking with your own eyes. You're not looking at what God's calling you to do. His calling, if he's calling you to do it, then you're going to be able to do it. Amen. So difficult days happen. Next slide. We're going to learn today how difficult days will happen, but we need to overcome them. We need to learn how to overcome them. So a lot of times we have these difficult days and it ruins our whole week. I'm not sure if that happened to you this past week. You had a difficult day and it happened on Monday morning when you went to work, or it happened on Tuesday. And that set the tone for your whole day and the next few days. Believe me, that is not fun. That is not what God is calling us to live our days, that when something happens that I'm not ready for, that I don't want to happen, or I just don't like, that it's supposed to ruin the rest of my day and then some. Am I the only person? Is there some people here that you've allowed a difficult day, you've allowed a troublesome day to ruin the rest of your week? God's not out to get you. I've met many people who feel that difficult days, it's like God is out looking down at you and laughing at you, and he's bringing these difficulties on you. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of the difficulties, we bring it on ourselves. It's our own fault, okay? You know, you're not supposed to, you know, you might have high blood pressure, but you love to eat bacon and you love to eat all kinds of stuff and salty things and sugary things. And all of a sudden your blood pressure is really high. It's because of what you're eating. So a lot of times we bring it on ourselves, but God's not out to get you. He is for you. If you are his son or daughter, he is for you. He is with you. Therefore, nobody can come against you, Scripture says. No one likes these difficult days, and they have a great impact in ruining the course of our lives, not just our day, but it can ruin the course of our lives if we allow it to. Next slide. So we need to learn to overcome those. Go back to the third one. Learn to overcome those days. There are ways to overcome them. There are words from our Father that gives us a different perspective in the matter that we're in the situation that we're in. The important part is will you focus on the difficulty or will you focus on God? Long time ago, there was a group of some young adults. They went to the Baptist church, and the Baptist church was having a big youth revival. And so we took our teenagers there, and these young adults were their whole message that night was focus on God. They created different scenarios as far as plays and skits that were contrary to what teenagers go through. And then just before the student was supposed to make a decision based on the difficulty scenario, they stopped and they started shouting, focus on God, focus on God, focus on God. Then they changed the whole scenario by the action that they took because of what God's word says. We can do that ourselves when and I know it's kind of hard to remember that in the it's always hard to remember the right things to do in the moment, in the heat of the moment. Soft answer turns away wrath. Oh, I got to shut up. Oh, I know. I like to give them a piece of my mind. How about giving them a piece of Jesus? As it is hard, but it's doable, and we can overcome those difficult days. For instance, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34, you can stand for the reading of this word. When it comes to financial situations, financial or material needs, we can choose to stand on what God's word says. Matthew 6, 31 says this, therefore do not worry, saying, how many of you worry? Anybody worry? Okay. You're saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God doesn't just mean coming to church. There are people that think they come to church, they give their tithe, their name is on the church roll. That doesn't get you to heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you never caught that last part, sufficient for the day, Jesus says, is its own trouble. You're going to have troubling days. They're going to come. And Jesus says, don't focus on that. Focus on me. Focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. Focus on righteousness and all these things. What are these things? All these things that you're so worried about and concerned about, and you have trouble sleeping, and you can't eat, and you can't think straight. Jesus says, all these things that are a necessity for you, they'll be added to you. Because he's our God and he's our provider, so he knows what our needs are. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So did you see that trouble? Jesus says that the day is sufficient for its own trouble. God knows what we would be born into. We would be born into this sinful world. We would be born into this world where it's easy to do the things we're not supposed to do. That's why God sent Jesus. You ever think about that? Why did God send Jesus? Because we're all sinners and we all need a savior and we all need repentance and we all need to cling to God, to cling to Jesus and not this world, for this world will pass away. So God knows what we're going to be born into. God knows the sin and troubles that you would have day to day or maybe every day. I don't know. But God knows the sin and troubles that would surround you daily, every other day, every Monday. Someone said that they had trouble every day. And they said, well, what day is that? And I said, the weekday. And so every day they had troubles. But God knows that you would have trouble every day. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit. You ever think about that? Why did God send the Holy Spirit? If you ever go to the Old Testament and you read how the people went to the temple, to the tabernacle, and how there was fire, a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, that was the Holy Spirit, God's presence resting on the temple so that everybody knew that God's here. God's right here. The great thing about us today is that we don't have to come to the church where God's presence by cloud during the day or a pillar of fire at night. If you stop by the church at night, you're not going to see a pillar of fire. If you do, call 911. There's a fire somewhere. But we have this special, special experience with God. It's not a cloud. It's not a pillar of fire. It's His Holy Spirit in us. And that Holy Spirit will help us. You see, God knows that we're going to have troubles daily or every other day. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into His truth. Holy Spirit comes to lead us to God's truth. Holy Spirit comes to teach us God's truth, to convict us when we're not following God's truth, to exhort us with God's truth so that we can live holy lives. God understands and He knows the troubles that we're going to experience every day. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. So when trouble comes, it brings anxiety. Show of hands, how many of you ever experienced anxiety? How many of you experienced fear? How many of you experienced despair? In those moments, we can learn, again, going back to my third slide where it says overcome the difficult days. Difficult days will happen, but we need to learn, and we can learn how to overcome them. And we can overcome them by choosing to stand on what God says, not that situation. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you." Who's talking? Jesus. John 16, 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you that in me," Jesus said, "in me, nobody else, in me," Jesus says, "you may have peace. In the world, you'll have what? Tribulation." We're going to have difficulty. People are going to try to punk you out and push your buttons because they know you're a Christian, try to get you to just get angry and use hurtful words. They're going to try to do that. You're going to have difficulty when you're driving on the road. Some people that are not supposed to be driving on the road, somehow they got driver's license and they're driving on the road. And you're just thinking, whoa, God, help me. But we can go to God. We can find peace in Jesus. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I love this. Jesus said, be of good cheer. He didn't say, continue to worry. He didn't say, go have a cry fest and a pity party. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. Jesus has overcome the world. So we can look to what God's word says, or we can look at the difficulty that we're going through. So again, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And understand, the fight is not against you and your spouse, or you and your friend, or you, or the person sitting next to you, in front of you or behind you. That's not the fight. Now, don't start looking around giving each other this, dirty eye or stinky eye, but the fight's not against them. The fight is against the spiritual things. The fight is against the things that the devil, the enemy, would love to bring in to cause division. Amen. We pray this all the time, that in this church, the people will be led by the Spirit of God for unity, that we would pursue unity in the bond of peace. And I know the enemy wants to come in and create little small fires in between people. So if you feel like there's a fire between you and someone, I mean, just stomp it out and start loving on them. Start talking to them. Start showing Jesus, not a piece of your mind, but share a little piece of Jesus. But that's what the devil loves. He wants to create a division and cause us to focus on that when we need to focus on what God's word says. We need to learn to bring our burdens to Jesus where we can find His peace and receive His peace. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me. Not me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're having difficulty sleeping. You're having difficulty thinking. Maybe you just need to spend some time with Jesus and find some rest. Lay your burdens down and find your rest in him. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Oh, Jesus, help me to learn from you. I need to learn from him how to be patient, how to apply God's word, how to be obedient to God. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we need to fight this good fight of faith. My second point is don't go astray. So the difficult days that happen can cause us to be so focused on the difficulty that's happening around us that we go astray. I hope that if I am ever lost, I do not want to come across this sign here to try to find out which way to go. I say if because I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I don't normally get lost. But don't go astray. There's a phrase that I'm going to share with you that I've just kind of heard over the years. And the phrase is, actually, there's an Urban Dictionary. And there's a definition for this phrase. It says, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Urban Dictionary defines this as don't make the situation worse than what it already is. Than what it really is. Don't we do that? Difficult things happen, situations. We make it worse by worrying. We have anxiety. We're fearful. We take matters into our own situation because God's really not moving as fast as we want him to. Like that's ever going to happen, right? Like he's going to listen to us and then, hey, Jacob, God's going to tell you to, hey, Jacob, tell me when to jump. No, that is never going to happen. We need to learn to wait and be patient on God. We can allow the difficulties to lead us astray where our feelings, our emotions, and our thoughts, as I was mentioned a couple weeks ago, they try to rise up against who Jesus is. And we need to learn to pull them down, take them captive, pop them if we need to, and take them under subjection because they are trying to rise up above truth. We're supposed to be led by truth. We're supposed to be walking in truth. We're supposed to be speaking truth. So when those thoughts or ideas, emotions come up, instead of God's word, this is how we can be led astray by what we see. Oh, but you don't know what I'm seeing. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know how I'm feeling. I don't have to know how you're feeling. I just know what God's word says. And if what you're feeling is contrary to what God's word says, who is wrong? Who's in the wrong? I mean, that's probably a good barometer. That if you're feeling something, you're thinking something, you're worried about something, you look to what God's word says and you kind of just measure it. Well, what's more important or what's really the truth? God's word's always the truth. And then you just have to set your attitude with what God's word says. And I know a lot of times it's difficult because when you're waiting for that answer to come and it's not coming, stop worrying and just trust in what God's word says. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? All these things that you're so worried about. They'll all come to pass. They'll all be, God will bring them. A lot of times the things you're waiting for, God's like, you ain't getting that. That's going to ruin you more than it's going to get, more than it's going to prepare you to where I want you to go. So that's why you're not going to get it. So it's important for us to do this so that we could be led astray or by what we see. But God's word leads and reminds us of his truth to walk in and follow. Let's go to slide 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Going back to 1 Timothy. Again, Paul is writing this to Timothy, but we can take this in for ourselves and say God is speaking to us because God's word is alive and powerful. That the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy is not just for Timothy. It's for us as well. That we read and that we say, Father, what are you speaking? And the areas that we're going through. So here, Paul says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Flee what things? Well, if we go up to verse 7, we'll find out the things that Paul is talking about, what to flee. So starting 1 Timothy 6, 7, it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I remember my father-in-law always, he would say this, I'm not sure where he got this from, but he said that you will not see a hearse hauling a U-Haul. You will not be able to take those things with you when you pass away. We can't take it with us. Verse 8, and having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So things in this world have a tendency to distract us from the real or true issues in life, the real meaning of life. Only through God can we discover what righteousness is. We find it in Jesus. Only through God can we find what godliness is by looking at the life that Jesus lived. Only through God can we find out what faith is by the Holy Spirit speaking and revealing to us the hidden truths of God. Where we come to a crossroads, do we choose to believe what God says or choose to believe what we see? By faith, we choose to believe what God says. And through God's word, our faith is increased, Romans 10:17. And so only through God can we even discover what real love is. Not the kind of love you're thinking about. It's not your love. It's not my love. It's God's love. And he demonstrated it by sending his only son to die for us. That while Jesus knew you and I would sin, yet Jesus still died. That's real love, to give us eternal life. And only through God can we discover what patience is. Many of you don't like to learn patience, but I'm telling you, we are all going to be learning patience till we get to heaven. Till we get to heaven. When we're in heaven, we're not going to need patience. We're going to see everything as Jesus sees everything. We're going to know things. And we're not going to need patience. So, if you didn't like that, I'm sorry, drop the bomb on you, but you're going to be learning patience till Jesus comes or till you go see Jesus. And then gentleness. Holy Spirit is so gentle. Just imagine. I mean, God is able to see all of your mistakes. I don't want to point anybody out, but he's able to see. Okay, Jacob. God's able to see all of your mistakes, every single one of them. And yet Holy Spirit is just going to be gentle and pointing out. Instead of rubbing your face in it and grabbing the back of your head and rubbing it into all that muck and mire, he's not going to do that. He's going to be gentle and revealing. Because God, I mean, in his gentleness, each one of us, he can just zap us and just squeeze our head, just zap. I mean, just because of what we do and of what we're doing and how we're living by selfishness. But yet he is so gentle. This is what we are supposed to be fighting for. To live by faith and to follow God's word. You ever think about that? As we mentioned about this whole 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. What fight? It says fight the good fight of faith. Fight what? Fight for what? And who's in this fight? Pastor says, I'm in this fight. I don't know what fight. I'm not. Listen, if you're not praying, if you're not seeking and trying to apply God's word, you're not fighting. You're not fighting. I mean, I want to give you this word picture. I wish I would have thought about it, but it's coming to me now. That the enemy's just dragging you. He's just dragging because you're really not fighting. You're not praying for your family. You're not praying for your marriage. You're not praying for your kids. You're really not praying. You're not pursuing, as it says here, pursuing godliness, as it says here, to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Well, I do that every Sunday because I come to church. Listen, you're not fighting if that's your pursuing, is just coming to church. It's a daily living, a daily decision. Say, God, I am pursuing you. I am fleeing these things. And oh, God, I messed it. I so missed it on Thursday. I went into the office and I just blew up. God, forgive me. Learn to say, Father, forgive me. And then picture yourself, God picking you up, dusting you off, because it's heartfelt. And you're not just saying, I'm sorry, God, with the idea of wait till I see that guy Monday morning. I'll give him a piece. No, no, no. You're actually repenting and saying, God, forgive me. Change me. Change my heart. Give me your love. Help me to be Jesus. Help me to shine bright. Instead of giving a piece of my mind, help me to give him Jesus. Lord, forgive me and help me. And then have this picture where the Lord picks you up, dusts you off, and you keep walking with him. I'm so thankful of his mercy. I'm so thankful of his grace that he doesn't check me off and say, I'm done with you, Rick. You're done. I'm done. I had it up to here. You're done. God's mercy, so long. It's new every morning, and I'm thankful for that. Our flesh falls. Anybody ever experienced this where your flesh falls? It falls for so many things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Fornication is sex outside of the boundaries of marriage. Uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Found out contentions means heated disagreements. I was always using the word heated disagreements. You know, anyway, contentions. That's what heated disagreements it means. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I'm so thankful. James chapter 1, verse 20. Write that down if you have difficulty with outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. I had a friend tell me he was doing word studies, and this always happens in my mind. Every time I see selfish ambition, he said that he was doing word study, and it brought this to his mind. He shared it with me. He said, selfish ambition, the origin of selfish ambition is Satan, because he wanted to be like God. So every time I see selfish ambition, right away in my head, I see the devil. I see Satan. He was the origin of that. So these are the things that we're not supposed to follow after. We're not supposed to be living. We're not supposed to be pursuing. Dissensions. Dissensions is connected with contentions, but it's even worse because there's a split or division that has already been created. So contentions is heated disagreement. Dissensions is even worse. It's worse because now there is a division. Churches, there might be some contentions, and I pray for unity in this church. But there might be some contentions, and I pray that believers will learn to overstep things, will learn to give peace of Jesus instead of peace of your mind, and they'd learn to love and to walk in unity. But this is how churches split, because dissensions happen. Contentions were never taken care of, and dissensions happen, and there's already a split. So this is what we're not supposed to be following after. Continues, heresies. Heresies is believing something that is believing, teaching, instructing something that is contrary to God's word. That's what heresy is. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Didn't know what revelries was? Now, drunkenness, that's pretty much self-explanatory. But revelries, just have this picture. Keg party. Revelries, that's what revelries is. You're having a festival, keg party, and you know, drunkenness, where there's just a bunch of lewd things happening, and there's a bunch of people there. I just thought I'd throw it in there. Revelries, keg party. So when you see selfish ambitions, hopefully you will see the fact that that in selfish ambitions, Jesus is not the focus, the devil is. Revelries, keg parties. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that these who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It is so important for us to not follow after the things that of this world, as Paul is encouraging Timothy, but that we would pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. May God help us to learn to walk in the Spirit, to be led by His Spirit daily. My last point, don't give up. Any of you ever feel like you want to just give up, like you just want to just grab this towel? You just want to grab, I surrender. You know what? I just give up. Just throw the towel. Just throw the towel. I give up. I give up. Just throw it. I give up. You know, when we give up on God, that's the worst thing that we can do. When we give up, we miss out on all the better things that He has provided, so much more than what the world can even give on its best day. We'll miss out on that. Father, help us. If you have walked away from God, if you have left God, or you're considering to leave God, I pray today as the Spirit speaks to you that you say, God, forgive me. I repent, God. I repent of this decision that's floating in my head to give up on you. I don't want to give up on you. Repent and remain standing on what Christ has done, on what God has said. Learn from Christ and live for what is worth living for, your faith in God. Matthew 24, verses 12 through 13. This has just been a driving force of my message all week. I've just been thinking about this. It's just been floating in my head all during this time of preparing. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, because difficulties will abound, because temptations will come and go, because tribulations will come, the love of many will grow cold. And that's a sad thing. The love of many will grow cold. What does that look like? People giving up on God. Just forget it. I can't live this way. Just forget it. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's the person who says, oh, God, forgive me. I ain't giving up. Forgive me, God. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up, God. I'm going to pursue righteousness. I'm going to pursue love. I'm going to pursue you, Jesus. I'm going to pursue gentleness. I'm going to pursue godliness. I'm going to pursue faith, strong, deep faith in God. I'm going to pursue your love. And if we do that, we won't go astray, and because we won't give up. So this verse has played a key role in my preparation, that many times I have disobeyed God. Yes, I've disobeyed God. I have become prideful. I've become selfish, and I have experienced guilt. I have experienced shame. I have even for a while picked up condemnation and carried it for a day or two, that I was looking at what I did. And there's no way. There's no way I'm fit for this. There's no way that God loves me. There's no way. I got to do something so that God can forgive me. No, there's nothing you can do. No action other than God, forgive me. I surrender. I accept your son, Jesus, as my savior. I surrender, God, that you would be Lord, number one, supreme authority of my life. Amen. And just surrendering my life to God. That's it. That's what will make me right in his eyes. That's when I'll be able to carry on righteousness. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if I choose to listen and look at my sin instead of Jesus, man, I'm going to be carrying that condemnation for quite a long time. And God tells us we're not supposed to carry that. Why? Because Jesus paid a great price to set you free. Why would you carry that shame? Why would you carry that guilt? Repent and give it to the Lord. I'm going to finish off with the next slide. God gives us many examples in his word. I'm sorry, slide 7. God gives us many examples in his word of his desire for his people to not fear, not to give up. So repent and live holy as he is holy. To master this life, I need to spend time with the master. This is how we overcome the difficult days that we go through, because we spend time with the master so that we can master whatever trouble, whatever tribulation, whatever comes knocking on our door. We can say, not today, Satan. I'm not going that way. I'm not believing that. I'm not listening to that lie. I'm going to trust in what God's word says. A commentary states that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, which has been our focus this whole month, God calls us to be fighters, but spiritual fighters who fight the good fight of faith with great determination until the war is over, when we lay hold on eternal life. You know, your end is not when you finally retire, you have your house, white picket fence, and the house is probably by a lake, and you know, you're out there fishing. That's not the end. The end is when Jesus comes, or when you breathe your last breath and you go be with the Lord forever. That is the end. That is what we live for. Our faith in God, that we will endure to the very end. I close with this verse, my last slide. As I conclude, we have to be reminded that there is victory for those who are in Christ. When troubles come, be prepared to fight the good fight of faith. When troubles come, keep focus on God and his word and apply it instead of going astray. That when troubles come, when we've done all to stand, remain standing and don't give up. We have this great victory 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that has just been placing his finger on certain areas of our lives. I pray, Father, that as those that have responded and laid that on the altar, Lord, I thank you, Father, for repentance. Lord, I thank you, Father, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we come to you today. We come to you today, Father God, to magnify your holy name and to thank you.